Hello, my name is Robin, and this is another episode of Vimiac's limited series podcast we're doing for Mental Health Week. And today I'm talking with Kristen, who has wrote the amazing poem, The Mental Health NDIS Experience. Thank you so much for getting a chance to speak to me today.
No worries.
So
happy to share, yeah.
Yeah, so Kristen, your poem, we posted it on Tuesday on our Facebook page, and now you and I have been working for like the last week or so to record it and properly get it out there. I'd like to ask you, so what spurred you to write this poem initially?
Well, it's kind of a couple of layers to it, I suppose. It's actually a kind of bit of a rewrite on a poem I wrote. I don't know, probably about 7 years ago, called The Client's Experience, which was really written about my experiences trying to get help for myself and my children, my three children, all of who were either at preschool or school age at the time, trying to get help for us. At a time when we were at very high risk of becoming homeless. And so those experiences didn't happen at that time. They happened about 10 years ago. But, yeah, I just found that I kind of reached a point and it just kind of poured out of me, which is often what happens to me with poetry. I sometimes don't write poetry for years, and then all of a sudden they'll just, you know, it'll start and I'll just kind of, it's like somebody else has written it, I'm just being the scribe. So that was the focus, was, you know, laying my family's plight out before people. And you know, I have to say that that experience was really horrendous. I didn't know at the time that I had a disability. In fact, I've got two disabilities. I have psychosocial disability and I'm autistic, and I didn't know either of those things at the time. They were experiences which certainly made, that was very traumatizing and certainly made my disability, my psychosocial disability, much worse. And I guess more recently, I've kind of done a couple of versions of the poem trying to talk about what it's like dealing with NDIS, not only for myself, but, you know, what I see for other people with disability, and particularly for my peers with psychosocial disability. And it's really quite horrendous. Like, even when you have a pretty good experience, you know, mostly it can be quite horrendous. You know, it's just really, the whole way the thing works is actually quite damaging for people with psychosocial disability in many cases, from what I've seen. And at the moment, like, I'm part of Vimiac's NDIS critical reference group on NDIS. I'm sorry, I'm not sure if I'm repeating myself. I'm a bit short on sleep today.
No, that's totally fine.
We've been working on a submission to the Senate subcommittee on NDIS about so-called independent functional assessments, and also on eligibility reassessments, and about how damaging these are for people. And I guess one of the things that kind of hit me was that, you know, this is just going to be one of many pieces of paper that they get, or, you know, something they're going to have online to read. And I really wanted ours to stand out, because, you know, kind of the most of the rest of the submissions will be from, you know, disability providers and all those kinds of things. And they just, they very rarely, even if they are trying very hard to put our point of view across, they very rarely do it in strong enough language to actually, you know, and quite often their point of view is quite different to ours, sometimes even kind of the opposite of what we would be saying. And I just really wanted, I was thinking about how can we really make our submissions stand out and, you know, help amplify our voices about this very damaging processes, one of which is in place already, and the other one, which the NDIA is basically saying is, you know, pretty much in stone. You know, they keep kind of fluffing around the edges and going, oh, we're still listening, but we're not actually, is effectively what they're saying. And so I just, really wanted to see if there was some way we could really capture the attention of the Senate subcommittee a little bit and hopefully make them really pay a bit of attention to our submission. And so, you know, I thought, well, if we had, you know, had a poem and also some artwork, you know, something audible and visual, then maybe that might help to kind of get them to listen a little bit, to pay a bit of attention. And originally I was going to use the kind of slight rewrite of the client's experience that I did a few years ago, which was about the NDIS, but it all basically all it did was it took out I lay my family's plight out before you and made it I lay my plight out before you, because, you know, I wanted it to be more first person disability disabled person's perspective. But kind of when I reflected on using this poem, I realized that it just really, I mean, I still honestly, some people have such horrendously traumatizing experiences, and not just one-offs with one part of the system, but repeated with many parts of the system, have such horrendously traumatizing experiences, that I really felt that I didn't capture that adequately in the initial poem. And so I added an extra stanza, which is the one about, you know, the disingenuous response and, you know, being blamed and gaslighted and feeling shattered and shamed because, you know, and a couple of people, like the group that I helped to facilitate, a couple of people who've been through that end of the spectrum said, yeah, that's definitely better kind of capturing it.
It's absolutely beautiful that you talk about a poem as this living thing. It's growing and changing as so do your experiences and your understanding grow. That's a beautiful way to talk about poetry. And it feels great that we've captured a little bit of that in a piece of audio. So thank you. Like, that's been amazing to be able to create that with you. I just want to point out as well is like... As I said, we post this through social media on Vimeac and to the critical reference group you mentioned on Tuesday. And like, and this was, as time of recording, this was yesterday afternoon because it's currently Wednesday. And some of the comments we got back were like someone saying it's immensely compelling and powerful truth telling, which I'm sure resonates with many of us. Thank you, Kristen. Like, or and another someone else saying that this is so beautifully put and thanking you as well. So it's amazing that like just in like a couple of hours we've had people like within half a day we've had people resonating with that story, and it shows that there's a real it's a message that needs to be said.
Look, I'm really just so pleased that other people, you know, resonate with it. I'm not pleased that they resonate with the experiences, but you know, I know that's true already. Unfortunately, and I really so I'm pleased that people feel that, you know, that it actually is getting that message out there, and it is truth telling. That's, you know, that's something that I'm very committed to as a person, you know, trying to do that in a way that people will listen without it being traumatizing for the listener is quite a challenge when you've been through a lot of trauma. And I kind of, you know, I try and walk that fine line. I don't always manage it, but yeah, I think truth telling is really important. It's one of the things that, you know, that the group that I help facilitate is very kind of, you know, I think has been very freeing for many people with psychosocial disability, that they've been able to just say it as it is, and, you know, talk about some of these experiences that, you know, we've all had. Generally, it's very rare that to find someone who hasn't had any of these experiences, or has only had good ones. It's just so rare. And it's really, it's a terrible and shocking thing, because actually these kind of bad experiences make it, they actually make our disabilities worse. And we already struggle with, a huge amount of stigma, in the community and, within a lot of systems. I recently had a service provider who, it's not an NDIS service, it's like a government, state government funded family service. And they recently told me, I complained to them that their service was not accessible for me, and that I was finding it actually re-traumatizing, having to repeatedly re-engage with them. And then, they would close and they'd say, "Oh, but you can always come back." I'm like, "Yeah, but we end up with another caseworker." And anyway, and I said to them, "Look, this is not accessible." And they turned around to me and they said, "Well, that's what the NDIS is for, and we're not, set up for people with disability." I said, "Yep, that's exactly the problem, actually, is that it doesn't matter whether you're specifically a disability service or not. You're supposed to be accessible for people with disability.
Course.
That is still incumbent on the service, and that is not actually what the NDIA is there for. The NDIA is not there to be the be-all end-all of every kind of issue that people with
No.
disability deal with. It's not. So you're wrong." Thankfully, I think that she took that on board. But yeah, it's a very common kind of thing. And like early on, when I had this fan service through a few years ago, because we've had to engage with them repeatedly, had it through another provider. I had them actually, I don't know whether they didn't believe me that I had a disability, even though I was in the process of transitioning to NDIS at the time, and they knew that. Or whether their understanding of psychosocial disability was so terrible, I don't know. And they also didn't believe me that my child, my youngest child, was autistic. And so, it's just, yeah, these experiences are really common, really common.
And this is something that like we at Vimiac see all the time, and it's one of the reasons we, worked with you to share this poem, because there is such this like there's all these stories about how people, they need the NDIS, they need those services to get what they need, but it can be traumatizing, can be a bad ex like it's a negative experience, and it's we need those messages shared. We need and also we need to talk about how, as you said, there's every service needs to be accessible. We need everything to be accessible for everyone. We can't just have everyone shoved into these one or two services, because not if they don't always work either.
No, that's right. I mean, yeah, I think, one of the things that's really important to understand about the NDIS is, even though it can be really life-changing for people, I mean, it's been life-changing for me. And, I'm one of the relatively lucky ones that I've had mostly good experiences, even though I have had some really awful experiences. It's very rare for someone to have no bad experiences, extremely rare. The vast majority of people that I hear from about this, whether it's, through the group or, people I, connect with through Vimiac, or, people sometimes send me a private message and tell me about what's happened for them. And, it's really the whole process itself is actually requires us to re-engage with what, for many of, for many, perhaps most of us, has been at some point and sometimes lifelong trauma. And so that shouldn't be what's going on, to get in. And often, because the NDIA is so deficit focused, it actually makes people worse
Yeah.
because you have to go, the process you have to go through to explain that you have a disability is to look into all those really hard places, all those things that you just cannot do, or it takes you so long that you might as well, days to cook a meal by which time it's gone off and you have to throw it away. If you're trying to do batch cooking or something like that, or how difficult it is to leave the house,
Yep.
or just so many different things. And the extent that we have to go to try and manage our lives as they are without help. And I mean, I've had to resort at times to taking photos to try and explain some of the
Yeah.
things that I struggle with, because I really, you can't really put words on it,
No.
but when you take a photo into a planning meeting and the pile of washing in the laundry, not all of the washing, just like the bed linen, because I used to have five people in my home, and where I live, you can't dry bed linen on the
No.
line most of the year because it rains a lot here. I finally can now because thanks to NDIS, the clothesline that I bought like 5 years ago, my gardening people were able to put it up under my front veranda. So now I can dry stuff.
Brilliant.
And I've
Something.
had support, so I've been able to have helped with the process of getting things through the washing machine and everything. But I literally had a pile of washing in my laundry, of bed linen that went back to, and it's been years since there's been more than two of us in the house, because I've got two boys as well, who live in the city now. And that pile of bed linen was as like I'm 5'4". It was about the same height as me.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about a little bit of washing, and it's not because I haven't tried, but I would
No, of
never,
course.
ever, no matter how much I tried, because summer is one of the times that I become really acutely unwell. And because washing is, for historical reasons, one of the things I really struggle with, I was never getting further ahead. No matter how much I tried to play catch up, I would get further and further behind with it instead of getting ahead. And, so kind of having to talk about these things is really traumatizing. Having to go into the details. And for me, I don't know about other people, but for me, whenever I realize, and it has been a very long process, realizing I actually have so much trouble with this that it's just, this is not normal.
No.
This is part of my disability.
Yeah.
That's been a really long process, but whenever I recognize that something is a problem for me, like realizing, for instance, that I found it very triggering to be in the bathroom.
Yeah.
These kinds of things, for me, the first thing that comes up when I realize these things is why?
Yeah.
Why? Because I that's been kind of a big part of my journey, is trying to understand the why of, how did I get here? Why is this the result? What happened? And the answer to that is usually really painful,
Yeah, of course.
and brings up another layer of stuff that needs to be worked through. And so, having to go through a process that is so deficit focused and does really, in reality, whatever the theory is, the reality is that you need to explain, what the situation is and why you need this help. And even when you do that, sometimes they still don't listen and they don't give you the support that you need,
Yeah.
despite having laid it all out so painfully. And the stress of the whole process is huge as well. And it's not just getting access that is horrendously stressful. That is very stressful, and often, people can end up feeling a lot worse afterwards, especially if they had some good help beforehand.
Yep.
And of course, in the process of transitioning, they then lose that. But the planning meetings themselves, most people seem to find those horrendously stressful, even if they're listened to and they get a good supportive plan. and have their goals recognized, it still is horrendously stressful. I mean, I personally, I've never really been someone who's kind of been someone to break out in a cold sweat. I mean, I get
Yeah, of
stressed like,
course.
very easily. I've got complex PTSD as one of my conditions, but I've never been someone who's really broken out into a cold sweat. And literally for months before my last planning meeting, every time I thought about it, I would break out into a cold sweat. And even now, thinking about my next one, which is like about 6 months away,
Yeah.
That started happening again, even though, I've got a bit of a better handle on my disability. I've, worked on some of the stuff that I got funding to work on. And,
It's that
I feel
experience.
like I kind of am better at managing my disability to a degree, but it doesn't change those kinds of things. It's just a straight out fear, and I
Yeah, of
like my planning
course.
meeting went really well. I had a really good planner who did a great job listening, but the whole process is just so stressful. And then the stress of waiting for your plan and, then trying to understand it. And of course, the cognitive impacts often for people of, with
Yeah, of
psychosocial
course.
disability are huge as well. So I get people messaging me sometimes and they go, I just got my plan and please tell me I'm reading it wrong because I asked for X and Y and Z and they gave me A and B and C.
It
And I have to look at it if I'm well enough and say, I'm sorry, but you're not reading it wrong. That's exactly what's happened.
sounds like it's for those of us, because I myself have not been through the NDIS, but I know a lot of people listening to this would be. It's such a messy experience, and that experience can stick with you long after you've gone through the rough of it. And I kind of, because we are, coming to a sort of time now, I want to ask you one last question about something a bit lighter. Is that with the poems, when we were audio mixing them, I asked you for any sort of audio we wanted to add with it, and you recorded for me, went out of your way to record for me the sounds of the waters near your house. I'd just love to ask you quickly, why the waters?
It's actually from the river behind my house. It's not only is it a very calming place to visit mostly. I have a couple of neighbor issues which kind of complicate that for me, but I guess for me, it's a very symbolic thing. There's actually a song that a friend many years ago shared with me, which has kind of been quite a powerful metaphor for me in my life. It's called River God by Nicole Norderman. And when I'm really struggling, one of the things I try to remember to think about is the coolness and the flow of the river and how calming that can be, just to be there, to listen to it, to maybe dip my feet into it if it's warm enough, weather, which is not at the moment. I kind of have this little saying that I say to myself, me in the river and the river in me, and trying to kind of get that sense of cool and flow, and that, things are moving even when I feel stuck, and that that the healing sense, I guess, of the river as well. To me, it's a very healing place. That was kind of when you suggested music, I just instantly thought there's no way that there's any piece. I don't think you'd ever find a piece of music I'd feel comfortable with putting with that poem because there would always be something not quite right about it. But, when I thought about you wanting to put a sound background immediately, it was just like it needs to be the river.
And I'm so happy I got to edit, like help create edit that, because it sounds really nice, and it really fixes the emotion, fits with the emotion. Well, I think that's all we have time for with this, but thank you so much for joining me and doing all the work you've done with me over the last week or so. Thank you so much for just giving us a little bit of context and insight into your perspectives and your inspiration for this piece. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks.